Good afternoon, everybody. Well, it is, thank you, Ben. It's a joy to be with you. And sorry I wasn't able to be with you yesterday or earlier today. I was had the privilege of being out at Faith Baptist Bible College and this whole week, Sunday through Friday, for their missions conference. And it was a tremendous joy to be able to preach four times and do two workshops and to interact with kids throughout the entire week. And it was very, very engaging and busy. And I forgot how old I'm getting, you know, until you go and you're on a campus of 19 and 20, 21-year-olds and you realize, wow, I thought I had energy, but not anymore, not compared to that. But it was great, and I thank Steve and Pastor Doug and Ben for allowing me the privilege to be able to come and just kind of give a. I guess my main purpose this afternoon. I'm going to probably say this morning often because usually we preach in the morning, right? But this afternoon is going to be to give a ministry update and to try to just help you to understand a little bit more, maybe what Beth and I are trying to accomplish now as missionary representatives for Baptist Missions. So I'm very thankful, as Steve has already mentioned, for a family that has brought us up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And I'm thankful for my granddad and my grandmom who are gone now, but how they've raised my mom and dad, how mom and dad have raised me, and how we've been multi-generations in ministry, not just this direct family line, but also brothers or uncles and aunts on both sides. So to me, I'm extremely grateful for such a rich and godly heritage. And one thing that I probably do take for granted, although I try not to, and I try to remind myself often of the blessing that it is to come from such a rich heritage. So, I bring greetings to you also from my wife. She has not been feeling well at all now for about a month. Many of you know that she has had some health issues in the past and has managed those pretty well and has been able to travel with me to many places around the world and able to maintain a fairly active lifestyle. But it seems as about a month ago, and we were headed down to Baltimore, Maryland, to visit one of our missionaries under our care we served with them together in Ivory Coast for almost 7 years and became very close. She was diagnosed with cancer earlier on this year and was going downhill rapidly about a month and a half or so ago. So we went to visit them in Baltimore. And on the way there, it was just a really rainy day, and we were trying to pass a big semi-truck who was, like, kicking up all this extra water, and we just hydroplaned just out of nowhere. And it was very surreal because it felt like literally the car just kind of came up off the ground. And the next thing I know, we're turning around, spinning in front of that big truck, and we went and hit the guardrail, and all the airbags deployed. But thankfully, we weren't hit by a car. We didn't hit another car. And so other than the car being totaled and our bodies being somewhat bruised, we are fine. But ever since that incident, Beth has kind of just seemed to be kind of regressing a little bit. And so we appreciate your prayers for her. And she brings and sends her greetings, but is obviously not able to be with us here today. So let me just talk to you a little bit about the ministry that we finished up in Cameroon and then how we've transitioned to the States now and what we're doing now. And what I've come to see, even throughout the couple years that we've been doing this, the necessity, the value, the importance of mission boards, mission agencies. You know, we are in a day and time now where mission boards and mission agencies are Either one of two things is happening. Many, many missionaries are just foregoing mission boards altogether. They're going to clearing houses, or they're just being sent out from their local church. And another phenomenon that's happening is mission boards are popping up all over the landscape. So, you know, a church will just create a mission board and say, we're going to send a missionary, and maybe another missionary joins, and they have three or four missionaries that they send out around the world. And I'm not decrying that at all. I'm just saying that's a reality. But what I've come to find out and learn is that, and this is what I'll share with you in just a little bit, is the value of a mission board that has some history, that has a lot of knowledge of the world and the missions landscape and all of the things that, for the most part, we here in America, we don't think about. We don't have to think about. And so it's just something that's not on our radar. And so I'll talk to you about that in just a little bit. But this is Beth and myself in our royal African garb that we like to wear a lot. This was actually at our Baptism and Missions annual conference here back in July. So in Cameroon, as you know, we started a church there in the capital city of Yaoundé. We went to Cameroon in 2006, and we left in 2016, so we were there a total of 10 years. And our primary goal was to plant a church. And the second thing that we did there was we served as African coordinator for all of our African missionaries scattered out throughout all of Africa. And we thoroughly enjoyed that ministry, and that was probably one of the things that prepared us for what we're doing now. But this is our church building that we were by many people in our church giving, some giving very sacrificially, and many of you here, our churches and individuals, gave, and we partnered together to build this very, very lovely building, which now that what you see up top there is beautiful ceiling made from hardwoods in Africa, like red mahogany and other things. It's absolutely gorgeous. And this is just the sanctuary part here, but off to the left there, as you can see, there's classrooms and offices. And then down underneath, it's kind of on a hill, down underneath is the pastoral parsonage, which was great for the church because they've been able now to have a pastor living right there on site and not have to pay rent, which is extremely expensive in this big, you know, urban city, capital city of about 3 million people. So a year and a half or so ago, we were able to go back for the final kind of like building dedication, and we had already turned the church over to a national pastor, but we were able to go back and have a building dedication. So we had swarms of people that came for this very big event, and you can see here that they even dressed some of them in their special garb that they had made. In Africa, one of the things that we do when we have special events, whether it be marriages, it could be funerals, you know, it could be these kinds of special events here, baptisms, things like that, they all go out and buy the same material, and then they have tailors sew for them different shirts, and they could be different ways of sewing it, but it's all made from the same material. So you can see a couple of the few fellows here and even a girl there that have that nice material on. And this was afterwards. We had big banners made and, you know, just kind of announced the day. And this is, you are welcome to the day of the inauguration of the chapel of the Bible Baptist Church of Ahala. And Ahala is just the community, the suburb, where we actually started this church. So it was a great blessing, a great culmination of many years of very, very intense, difficult, and hard and labor there in this country of Cameroon. It was the most difficult country we've ever worked in. And we've worked in, as you know, three different countries, Central African Republic and Ivory Coast and Cameroon. But at the end, it was probably by far the one that had that bore the most fruit and gave us the greatest sense of accomplishment and joy from all the relationships that were developed there through those years. This is the pastor of the church now. He graduated from a seminary out there. He's actually right now working on his doctorate from that seminary. And this was the day that we kind of, Beth and I were there, and we kind of symbolically handed the church over to him. We kind of put the church into his care. It was an interesting day. We took all of the documents that we had from the church, like the constitution and the strategic plan and, you know, the bylaws and all the membership records and all those things, and we physically gave those to him in front of the church, and it was a great day. It was a marvelous day. And so he and his wife are there now. They're faithfully pastoring. What's been really wonderful to see is how they've taken the church even on to another level from where we had it, because they do things and they think of things in their culture that we may not have. And so they've introduced small group type ministries, which we had tried to do at one point, didn't work too well, but they've done it, they've introduced it, and now what they do is throughout the week in people's homes they have these small groups meeting together, and that really fits the African context, which is all about communal living, community. And they don't have the ability to just jump in a car and drive, usually, for the most part. They have to either take a bus or a taxi or walk. So to have small groups, small gatherings in different, we call them quartiers, I guess you could say quarters or neighborhoods of our area, has been very, very helpful. And they've really increased in numbers because of that that outreach ministry. There's a great African proverb that I really like. Africans are known for their proverbs. If you didn't know that, Africans have great, great proverbs. I'll read this one to you in just a second. But one of the great proverbs that the Africans have is, you don't really get to know a man until you eat a pound of salt with him. Now, if you don't really understand that, let me just ask you this. How long would it take to eat a pound of salt? Take a while, right? Yep. So it's all about community. It's about togetherness. It's about, you know, doing life together. And so this is one of my favorite proverbs, because we as Americans, we like to go fast. We like to just get her done. And in Africa, it's not so much about that. It's so much more about doing things together. And so this proverb would sound like this in some of the parts of Africa. If you want to go fast, you go alone. If you want to go if you want to go far, you go together. And so that's one of our proverbs that we've adopted even now as we work with Africa and Europe across the world as our with our missionaries is, We want to go with them. We want to go alongside of them. We want to minister to them and help them to not just go fast, but to go far. You know, ministry is not a race. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's something that takes time. It takes a long, concerted effort of faithfulness, and that's what we hope to be able to accomplish in our ministry. Now, this right here, I don't know how well you can see that. All those little stars is where we have missionaries in Europe and Africa. So let me just explain to you, just briefly. Since coming home from Africa in 2016, we started as administrator of Africa and Europe in April of 2016. And basically, what we have been given is the responsibility to care for and minister to Baptist Missions missionaries scattered throughout Europe and Africa. And it's interesting, and let me just explain this to you, because it's interesting to me how many people have said to me how it must be really great for us to now be able to, you know, come and live in America based out of Cleveland, Ohio, and kind of, you know, all those kinds of things. And I told them, I said, well, maybe for some people it would be, but not for me. Not for me, not for an African kid who grew up in Africa and his whole life has been in Africa. My whole sense of identity in some ways is African. For me, the most difficult situation, or I should say maybe the most difficult decision that I have probably made in recent years was the decision to leave Africa to come home and live in America and do this job. Thankfully, by God's goodness and grace, we've adapted to it and enjoyed this ministry more than we thought we would. And so what you see there then is just our missionaries scattered throughout all of Europe and all of Africa. It's quite an array of places. So let me just talk to you about Africa for a minute. Look at that graph there, if you will. And the blue is what is the population in 2015. And you'll see the black is the projections for 2100. So 2100. Look at Africa. Do you see anything there? Yeah. That's the projected growth of Africa. Africa is projected to grow the fastest growing continent on the planet over the next, 50 to 70, 80 years or so. And you can see that North and South America, Europe, basically almost no growth. Actually, North and South America are actually going to just barely grow. Europe's actually going to, looks like it's going to decrease. Asia is highly populated, but not growth like Africa. So Africa is a place that we're really trying to target. We're trying to recruit. We're trying to get people to understand the opportunities that exist in Africa. But today, it seems as though it's very, very difficult to get young people to commit to going to the African continent. And I think that's partly because for so many years, as Americans, we've got this image in our minds. And you may have it. You may have this image in your mind of Africa. And Africa being poor, underdeveloped, sick, AIDS, famine, disease, war, rumors of war, and pygmies running around with loincloths and spears and cannibals and just all that kind of stuff. And I'm amazed. I'm amazed at how many Americans still have that view, that image in their mind. There may be some remote places like that, but I can tell you from living in Africa and traveling now all over Africa, it's the fastest place on earth where urbanization is taking place. People are moving to the cities. And they are cities where, we're developing rapidly. Ghana, which is in West Africa, the capital city is Accra. The economy of Ghana in 2018 was the fastest growing economy in the entire world in 2018. That's pretty impressive. Faster than the U.S., faster than some of these Asian countries that are just exploding with growth. Ghana is the number one fastest growing economy in 2018 in the entire world. So these are places where, you have indoor plumbing, you have fast speed internet, you have access to many, many modern conveniences. So I think maybe that's part of the reason. But we are on a mission to recruit people, young and old, to go and take up the banner of Christ to the African continent and go there. We had, at one point in time, probably when my mom and dad were in Central African Republic, back in the very early days, maybe back in the 70s, there may have been, maybe, what could there have been even 100 missionaries in Central African Republic alone, husband and wife? 150 missionaries in one country of about, at that point in time, probably less than maybe 2 million people. Today it's over 4 million. But so here's today. Today, all these years later, now the population of Africa is skyrocketing. We have a total of 34 missionaries on the entire continent. 34 missionaries on the entire continent of Africa. So that's one of the goals that we have, is to really amp up the recruiting to Africa, helping people to acknowledge and understand and educate them on what's happening in Africa. So here's where we are in Africa. 38 missionaries right now. I said 34. There's two couples on deputation preparing to go. So they're not on the field yet, so I've just counted them as 34 on the field. 38 total. We are in 12 countries, as you see there. Interestingly enough, what I want you to see, though, too, is the two places where there are red people, Botswana. We used to have missionaries there, but they left, so we have nobody there now. And in Côte d'Ivoire, where we served for 7 years, there was one missionary couple remaining. When we were there, there were probably at least six couples. Now there's one couple remaining, and they have been home this entire year. His wife just passed on with cancer. She just died here. The lady that we were going to see in Baltimore just died about maybe a week and a half or so ago. So there's really nobody left in Côte d'Ivoire. He may return, just kind of hit and miss, but probably won't return to live there. In Europe, Beth and I oversee, 13 countries, 74 active missionaries, and 7 appointees. When you take the whole missionary family together, when you take the active missionaries and their families, children, it's about close to 200. And then you add on top of that the appointees, the ones who are raising support to go, and the retirees. So anybody that's retired from Africa and Europe, I kind of embrace them into the whole African administration, European administration. We have about very close to 300 that we're directly responsible for and to give care for. So that's kind of where we have our people in Europe. We had missionaries in Turkey, where the red one is, and they are no longer there either. So that just gives you a brief understanding of how scattered out our people are and how much travel I do. I was going to put some statistics together of my travels over the last couple of years, but I didn't get that done. But I can tell you that I've traveled more in the last 2 years than I've probably traveled in my entire life. I've traveled to almost all of these 20-some countries in the last 2 years. And that primarily was for the missionaries to get to know me and feel our heart for them. And for us to be able to get to know them, see where they live, see their ministries, see what they struggle with, and just be able to be more knowledgeable on how to pray and how to minister to them. So that's, in a nutshell, what we do in those places. We do what we call missionary care, missionary retention, missionary recruitment, and missionary relations. So let me just talk about the care for just a minute. Missionary care. Wow. It got to be 4:15 already? Is that right? Okay, well, let's get moving here. Missionary care. So missionaries need care. They need care in many, many different dimensions. They need emotional support and care. They need spiritual support and care. They need care for such things as, you know, getting visas, making sure that they have proper housing, making sure that they get the necessary training that they need for language and for culture and teamwork and helping work through conflicts and things like that happen on the field. The number one reason for missionary attrition today, believe it or not, is conflict with other missionaries. The number one reason. It's hard to believe. In fact, I often tell people, you know, we put an enormous amount of effort and emphasis on theology, on getting certain degrees and all this training. I'm just going to tell you, I know very, very few missionaries who have failed because of theology. They almost all fail because of interpersonal relationships, discouragement, moral failures. Those kinds of things are what wipe missionaries out. So we care for them, as a pastor would care for his people. We look at these people across the world as our people that we shepherd. We shepherd them, we coach them, we teach them, we provide different kinds of instruction for them, different times to get together and refreshment and inspirational times where they can get together and just really just put aside the ministry for a while and just grow in their relationship with the Lord and in their relationship with each other. Missionary retention. Let me talk to you about that. I guess I thought I had a slide in here, but I guess maybe I don't. Missionary retention is a key thing. I just got to tell you that missionaries wipe out way more than you would ever imagine possible. And it's very, very sad. Because here's the truth. The truth is, much of it is avoidable. But here's really the reality. If you think about how long it takes for a missionary to get to the field, it's a long time. Okay, let's just walk through that for a minute. If you take a missionary and, you know, he goes through 4 to 6 years of training, okay, Bible college, seminary, MDiv, those kinds of things, all in the pursuit of going to the mission field, that's 6 years, that's tens of thousands, if not more, dollars. Then you take deputation, raising support. For many missionaries, that can take a minimum of 2 to even 4, even some 5 years it takes for them to raise their support. And that's, again, tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of dollars to raise money for not only living that entire 5 years, but also raising support monthly and raising money for outfit and passage, which means when they get there, they got to get their house set up, they got to buy a vehicle, they got to do all these things. It's a lot of money and a lot of time. Then they get to the field. Before they get to the field, or when they're on the field, they got to learn a language. They got to adapt to a culture. That can take a year to 2 years. Easy. Most people just kind of think in their minds, well, you know, one semester or 1 year of language school and they're ready to go. Not really. Not really. 1 year is just, you're just starting to break through the icebergs. You got to get down to the bottom where you really learn the language, where you really begin to understand to a very small, minute amount of the culture. That takes at least a year or two. Add all that up. That's a lot of years. And that is literally hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of dollars. And then a missionary gets to the field, and sometimes within the first year, they're on a plane coming home. Some of them just really dig it out until the end of the term. End of the term, they come home and that's it. And a lot of that is because of lack of preparation. A lot of that is because of bad management. Sometimes it's just, you know, conflict with team. Sometimes it's health. Sometimes it's unavoidable. But for many times, it's a real key that Beth and I are really trying to zero in on and make sure that we help our missionaries. For example, one of the things we do with our missionaries now, especially going to Africa and certain parts of Europe, we require certain things of them before they even go. And some of those things are, for example, sending them to a place like Missionary Training International out in Colorado, which is a one-month training on language and culture, and just preparing them for what they are going to face. All the transitions that they're going to face, going back and forth, all the different things that their children will face. Many times, I've seen this already in the 2 years that I've been doing this, many times it just takes one child that just, he doesn't do well, he doesn't adjust, he becomes a really difficult situation for the family, and the family leaves and comes home. It has to come home because of of that one child, because that child didn't maybe have the proper preparation or care that maybe could have helped to avoid that situation. Missionary recruitment. It's a big part of what we do now. As I said, I was out at Faith for a whole week and talked to just dozens and dozens of kids and talking to them about the opportunities that we have throughout Africa and Europe. And then missionary relations is not just relationships between missionaries, but the relationship between the home and sending church here and the missionaries and the all the supporting churches and individuals that call in will want to talk about their missionary and what's happening. And just so I'm a liaison, so to speak, between the missionaries and the supporters here. So let me just talk to you real quickly as I'll have to finish up here. A mission board. What is a mission board exactly? You know, I've told you that I've learned a lot about mission boards ever since I've come and been a part of one, where I'm actually now one of the administrators. And I just want to run through these real quick with you to help you understand the value and the importance of a mission board. As I said, many churches today now are just kind of sending out their missionaries just as a local church. Many missionaries are choosing just to kind of go with a clearinghouse, where they can just basically have the money sent to the clearinghouse, they gather the money, and then off they go. Well, a mission board is a brand. And let me just talk to you about a brand for a minute. It's about image. It's very important that a mission board provides an image, provides a brand for churches and individuals to know. Okay, so this missionary is a part of this board, and I understand that what that means for that missionary and for me as a potential supporter. I know that missionary has been vetted. I know that missionary has proper doctrine. I know that missionary is going to be held accountable. I know that missionary is going to get proper training and care. And so it provides a proper image for people as they look into a mission agency. It's a sharing team. It's a sharing team. Now, what I mean by that is it's all about interconnectedness. So we work together all across the world. We come together once a year for an annual conference. We have teams on the various continents and on the various countries. So each country has a ministry team. And that ministry team has people who are in charge, down to all of them together, working interconnected, trying to make sure that they're working together as a team. It's an equipping force. The equipping force, it's all about instruction. It's all about training. It's all about preparing missionaries for what they're going to face on the mission field. I've already said, so many years of training in theology and all these kinds of things, which is very important and very necessary. But oftentimes, the missionary is sent out there without proper cultural instructions, without proper preparation for language learning, without understanding of what his kids are going to face as they transition from one culture to another, how to say goodbye, how to say hello in a new culture, how to deal with loneliness, how to deal with being far away from home, and how to just all those kinds of things. I could just stand up here for hours and talk to you about the different things that I've experienced already with our missionaries around the world who lacked proper instruction. It's about a caregiving society. I've talked to you about this a little bit. It's about inspiration. It's a little bit about inspiration. It's about coming alongside and caring and letting them know that they are loved and thought of and prayed for and cared for. And we went and visited one of our missionary families in Slovakia. They are the only missionary couple in this city. And we went and visited them, and we sat around the table, and we talked together, and we listened, we prayed, we strategized, we cried. And when it was all said and done, before I left, they grabbed me and they said, "We just want you to know that your visit to us has been the most encouraging visit we've had the entire time we've been in Romania." Now, it's the only visit they had, but no, not really. But it's an important part of caring for missionaries to inspire them to continue on and do better. A mission board is a scouting agency. So it's all about improvement. It's all about growth. It's all about getting new people, new, fresh recruits to go around the world. So I'm going to run through these because I don't have much time. But this is what a mission board does. These are the services that a mission board provides to churches, to individuals who are interested in partnering together with a missionary. And lastly, mission board is a logistics headquarters. It's all about the indispensables, the indispensables. We have, in our home office, we have a lady who takes care of all the missionaries' taxes, which is quite complicated when you are living overseas. Most missionaries wouldn't have a clue how to do that. Our ladies in the accounting department, they handle hundreds of thousands of receipts per year. Millions of dollars come through every year. We have a benefits manager who handles all of the complications of health insurance and retirement and life insurance and all those kinds of things that really help our missionaries a great, great deal. Okay, I went through that already. So let me just talk to you real quick about one of the things that was a highlight of this last year. In February, Beth and I put on what we call the PAWS Conference. The PAWS Conference is a conference for all of our missionaries from Africa and Europe to come together in one place, one time, every 3 years for just worship and preaching and encouragement and fellowship. And it's called PAWS because I told our missionaries, when this happens, I want you to hit the pause button and I want you to stop everything. I want you to stop ministry. I want you to stop thinking about your ministry. I want you to get away from your ministry. And I want you to come to a place where you can just let go, just let down, just weep and pray and sing and fellowship and talk with other missionaries about what's happening in your life and ministry. And it's called, as you see there, African and European Enrichment Conference. And it was the highlight of the year. We had missionaries come who are working in foreign countries. Now think about this. Think about how much we can take for granted coming to church on a Sunday morning and being with other believers in Christ and singing and just being blessed by the Word. These are missionaries who have been in their countries, who are starting, at least trying to get to know people in the community. They haven't started a church yet. Haven't even started active Bible studies. They're just trying to get to know people and build relationships. Been there for a year or sometimes two. They haven't been to a church service. They haven't sung with other believers. And we had missionaries who came, and as they were standing there singing wonderful, beautiful worship songs in their own mother tongue of English, for the first time in a year or two, together as a group, they stood there and just wept as they sung for the first time in so long. It was magnificent. And here's the group right here. We all met in Malaga, Spain. Now, if you want to go somewhere in February, that's the place to go. This was February in Malaga, Spain. And we went there. Missionaries came from all over Europe, Africa, and we met there. And it was, and those are the kinds of things that Beth and I are trying to incorporate into our missionary family, specifically Africa and Europe, where we have the privilege of overseeing. Okay, so I got a couple minutes. Let me take you real quickly to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and what I want to do here is just describe for you the ministry that Beth and I are doing. And it's inspired by this passage in 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting at verse 15. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Paul is writing to his son in the faith, Timothy. Paul is in prison Paul is in Rome. Paul is at the end of his life and his ministry. And here's what we find Paul in the condition that he's in. He says, "You are aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes." Verse 16. "May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he searched for me earnestly and he found me. May the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day, and you will know all the service he rendered at Ephesus." The number one difficulty for missionaries on the foreign mission field is loneliness. Loneliness. I know of a missionary before he went, he went around and interviewed 10 different missionary families, all separate. None of them knew each other. None of them had any, you know, connection. And without fail, all 10 of them answered to the question, "What's the most difficult trial, the most hardest thing for you on the African on the mission field?" They said it was loneliness. Loneliness, being alone, being without missionary colleagues, or being without a group, you know, around them. You know, you think about when a missionary leaves here, they leave their home church, they leave their family, they leave everything, and they go to this strange place where they don't know anybody, where they don't have small groups, they don't have Sunday school groups, they don't have people to meet with, and they're alone. And so this is kind of where Paul found himself at the end of his life. He was in prison, probably shackled to some Roman guard, and he says that everybody turned away from me. All who were in Asia have turned away from me. I'm sure I can't even imagine how that must have felt. But there was one guy, and his name was, depends on how you want to say it. Some people say Onesiphorus, some people say Onesiphorus. There was one guy. And I want you to look at that verse 16, and I want you to underline, highlight, circle. It says, "For he often refreshed me." He often refreshed me. He was not ashamed of my chains. Verse 17, "When he arrived in Rome, he searched for me earnestly, and he found me." Now, that's what Beth and I do. That's what we do. In fact, we've invented a new verb. It's probably going to show up in Webster's Dictionary here in a few years. But that is the verb onesiphorize. Onesiphorize. And Beth and I, our goal is to onesiphorize our missionaries, to breathe fresh air into their souls, to encourage them, to visit them, to sit down with them and listen to them. Listen to their struggles, listen to their joys, their victories, their accomplishments, and their failures. He often refreshed me. Now, there's some, you know, we're not sure whether Onesiphorus maybe was a businessman who would be going back and forth to Ephesus and Rome. We're not sure, but when he arrived in Rome, it sounds maybe like to me, he actually went to Rome looking for Paul, looking for this man, because it says he searched for me earnestly and he found me. Now imagine, there's a very good possibility that Paul was being moved around from one jail to another, from one dungeon to another. And it wasn't just like you walk into the, you know, tiny little city of Rome. No, this was a huge city. And he walked in and he went around. He really made an effort to find Paul, to breathe life, fresh air into him. And so that's not only what Beth and I are attempting to do by God's grace and the strength that he gives, but as I travel around and talk to our churches, I just want to encourage you as a church. You have missionaries. You support missionaries. And I know you are a praying church. You pray for your missionaries. But I'd like to also encourage you to often refresh them. That could be through prayer. That could be through a card. But today, with technology that we have, it could be through a Skype call. It could be through a phone call. It could be getting them into the worship service here some Sunday morning with a Skype call, getting them to be a part of your service here. There are many different ways that we can go about today refreshing our missionaries. But I want to encourage you to do that, to be very intentional as Onesiphorus was here. Very intentional. Went out of his way. Spent days and weeks probably traveling to Rome and getting there and finding him. Spending money. Just really being intentional about doing that. And so that's what Beth and I do. That's really kind of, that encapsulates what our primary ministry is as a field administrator. So much more than, you know, what I thought of as a field administrator before. So much more than just kind of like, you know, supervising the missionaries, managing the missionaries, directing the missionaries. No. It's so much more a shepherding, coaching the missionaries and their families to help refresh them so that they can be all about the business of the kingdom. So, that was a short version of Onesiphorus. But if you have any questions, I'll give you 2 or 3 minutes if you have any questions to ask a question about myself, Beth, our ministry, what we do, anything that would interest you. If not, I will be finished. I just came from Faith, where we had to watch the clock. So I'm kind of into watching the clock and making sure that I'm finished on time. And I, you know, in Africa, you don't have to worry about that. It's really a blessing. You start when people show up, and you finish whenever you feel like it. So, yes, Matt, sir.
Can you give us a few key prayer requests?
Yep, I can do that. For 2019, one of our goals is to really zero in on the retired missionaries. We haven't really done much of that at all over the last 2 years because we've been focusing so much on the ones overseas. So one of our prayer requests is that God would give us wisdom and a heart of compassion as we try to visit them and help them as they navigate a pretty difficult time in their lives too. We found out that the two most difficult times for missionaries is the very beginning and the very end. Those are really hard times. The beginning is just filled with transition and change, and so is the end. Now these missionaries have been overseas all their lives. They're coming back to a place that they don't really know. They don't know about Medicare. They don't know about this and that. They don't know how to navigate things. They're lost. They're confused. And so we want to help them through some of the dips. So pray for that. Pray for our wisdom in helping the older folks. Pray for Beth and her health, that she would really kind of get out of this difficult time that she's in right now. And we would also ask that, you know, we get really busy. We get really busy. And we travel a lot. And we get tired. Pray that we would also stay fresh. That we wouldn't work so hard, we wouldn't be such a Martha that we fail to be a Mary, that we fail to refresh our own souls and take time to. So just pray for our own spiritual growth, our own spiritual enrichment, because you can't give to somebody if you don't have it. You know, you can't give out of a vacuum. You have to be filled up and able to be able to run over and to help other people. So just pray for that as well. Steve. Not across all of Africa. I can tell you, like in Cameroon, there are quite a few more than just Baptist missions. Now I don't know, you know, how far you want to go with evangelical, but you know, there's Wycliffe missionaries there doing Bible translation. There's Covenant. There's Assemblies of God. There's E-Free. So there are a number of missionaries. However, what's interesting, that what we found was there are very, very, very few missionaries today actually doing church planting, actually planting churches. They're doing translation. They're working with, you know, digging wells and providing clean water and rescuing, you know, sex slaves. And all those are good things. But the discipleship, it's very clear what we're to do, right, our mission. Go and make disciples. It doesn't even say go and plant churches. It says go and make disciples. And if we go and make disciples, the end result will be a church. Is that me? But sometimes what happens is we go and we focus so much on making on planting churches that we forget to make disciples. And that's happened. I've seen it. We gather people together, we put them into small groups and we call it a church, but there aren't really any disciples, there aren't really any leaders, there's not really deep spiritual growth. It's just a gathering of people together. Like, how many people do you have on your church on Sunday morning? That's the big question, right? How many people do you have in your church? And we gauge everything by how many people you have in your church, not how many disciples you have. Okay. Any other questions? Did that answer your question? Okay. I don't really know how many across Africa there are, but I know there's certainly fewer than there were years ago. The big influx, like for my mom and dad, years back in the 60s and 70s, were this huge missionary force went overseas after they had come back from World War II. So they had come back from World War II. They had seen the needs. They had done what Jesus said to do, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They're white under harvest. And they came back and they were like, wow, we need to go back overseas as missionaries. And that's where a huge sending force went back in the 60s and 70s. Okay. All right. I guess I'm finished. Thank you very much. I'm going to close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here at Salem Bible. Thank you for these dear folks who have come and to hear the words that you have spoken through your servants these last couple days. Encourage them, give them insight into what you're doing around the world, and help us all to just cling to you each and every day. Thank you for what you do for us. Thank you for your grace and for your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.